So I think everybody heard that. You're at my house. It's not a perfect house. There's a little bit of laundry everywhere. Not everywhere. Just most rooms. And no, Andrea, my wife is a great housekeeper, so I'm in trouble now. That's not true all the time, just occasionally. And no, stop. And now I'm really in trouble, aren't I? Skip. So my main message is don't ever talk bad about your wife and love her, okay? That's my main point. No, but really, every now and then we'll read something in the Bible and someone will say, hey, what does this really mean? And that's what we're going to do today. You're going to hear a little bit of me talk, and then what we do is we just sit around the table and we say, what did you hear from this? And what did you get from this? And what did you hear from this? And I love 1 John because I am not that bright, right? Like, if you have Christmas lights, you have the one light bulb that's not so bright. That's me. I can be dense. And I love 1 John because to me, it simplifies Christianity down to the core little bits of what I can actually do and understand and apply and go for it. So I'm gonna briefly run through 1 John, what has impacted me, and then I'm going to get your feedback on it. We have a bunch of sheets of paper that you guys can hand out right now if you want to, because I'm going to go really fast so I can get to your comments. And this will be really distracting, won't it be? Wasn't that play great?
Yes.
Wasn't that awesome? I love having the kids. I think we should just skip sermons and just have the kids perform the whole time.
Oh, hey!
Sorry. That way we won't go till midnight. So, and I won't go to midnight. So the very first thing about 1 John that I love about it is John doesn't make us try to figure out why he wrote this book. Right, 1 John 1:4, the very first verse there says what? He wrote this so that we may have what?
Joy.
So we may be full of joy. So he's like, okay, you want joy in your life? I'm going to tell you how to do it. And he's like, here we go. And he starts off there on 1 John 2:3. What does he say there? And you can be sure that we know him if we do what? Obey his commands. Now, I always heard that as obey the rules. Right? There are just certain rules so you just better doggone not violate. And you know what I've come to realize is actually the more important part of that verse is, do we know him? 1 John, in my opinion, is not about love one another. If you've read it a bunch, he always says love one another, love one another, love. My opinion now is that 1 John is about that. Do you know him? Right? We saw that great intro. Thanks. And we didn't coordinate that. But his basic question is what?
Do you know him?
And my plea today is going to be, do you know him? So I'm going to take a deviant from what I planned. And that was this. I don't know about you, but I would say for most of my quote unquote walk with Christ, I don't think it really worked really well for me. Like the whole, I die and I go to heaven, I get out of hell card, like that was kind of cool. But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, problems at work, problems at home. I'm not so sure it always worked, right? Like all these people talk about this joy and the full of the Spirit and fruits of the Spirit and all these things. And I'm like, man, I must be on the bad side of Christianity because I'm not sure how often I have this joy thing happening in my life. So 18 months ago, right, I'm superstar in my company, and also my boss walks in and says, you're fired. And the Holy Spirit shows up and he tells me this. I'm literally in the office, and here's the HR guy, and there's my boss, and the Holy Spirit says, bless these people. And then I have all these other great things, like I have to sign a non-disclosure agreement, which I can never talk bad about the company. I can't reveal anything about the company. And that was one of the best things that ever happened to me, to stop a slanderer and gossiper like me to not ever have to say anything bad. Like, I wish I could sign a contract for every human being in my life so I would never. But what I found out about that is that by learning to love others, guess what I've ended up with? Joy. And these last 18 months of my life, I have learned to know God intentionally. And guess what I'm starting to get? And you know what a really great byproduct of knowing him is?
Freedom
and loving others. I'm not the best husband in the world. Like, We do a parenting business. We don't do a marriage business for a reason, right? Because if people were to look at my marriage, they'd go, that's an all right marriage. But Dr. Turpin, you have a long ways to go. But you know what I'm learning to do? I'm learning to love my wife like never before because I'm getting to what? Know him. I mean, I just can't. I'll probably only say know him another 50 times for you, but I can't encourage you enough. So let's jump back into the text so that we can let the Bible tell us more about it. 1 John 2:4, he says, if someone claims that I know God, but doesn't obey God's commands, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. I used to always, again, think that meant that if I really buckled down and I obeyed all the rules, he would be really happy with me. I'm telling you, that didn't work for me at all. Not at all. And then he goes on to say, for those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him, that they are living in him. And then 1 John 2:7 is the main one. Right there he says, okay, you want to know what the rules are? I'm not writing a new rule command for you. Rather, it's an old one you've had from the very beginning, and this old command is what? Right? This whole thing is about, you want to know what command God really wants us to follow? It's love one another. There's this weird cycle that for me, Christianity, I'm an engineer by training, so I wish Christianity would go like, or that God would make everything go nice and logical, right? And then if I could just like always follow these rules and all these things, then we'd draw the line and boom, there's the answer at the bottom, right? It just doesn't work that way for me, and it might work that way for you, but it seems like it's a mystery, this whole loving God and knowing God, and to me, I don't understand it. Yet, if you flip on the back side of this paper, there's a little diagram that you can't read because it's too small, and that's an engineer, not a graphic design artist. And on the left-hand side, it says, know God, remain in him. And then over on the right-hand side, it says, obey/love one another. And there's supposed to be arrows, and it's supposed to go around in a circle. And, yeah. This is what I have found. As I grow to know God, I instantly love others. And then the opposite happens, too. When I learn to try and love others, you may not have this experience, but I do, people hurt me. And people at times feel like they stab me in the back. And even family members, right? And what I've known is that as I try to learn to love others, I have to end up going back to God. Or Doug Turpin becomes a bitter man, an angry man. I mean, there was a point in my marriage where I would work really late at night because I did not want to be anywhere near my wife. And yet it wasn't until God broke through that and showed me how I was destroying myself and her and learning to love because I came back to know him, then all sorts of joy and freedom and good things came in our marriage. But it really is this weird dynamic. Am I too... Isn't that making sense, Skip, here? That this whole... It's not a 1 + 1 = 2 kind of an equation. It's like you get to love others and know him and things happen. So I'm going to... A few more statements, then I want you guys to engage. 1 John 2:13 and 14. I find it very interesting on here that he says, those of you who are mature in the faith, why are they considered mature in the faith? Because they know him. And then right after that, he goes off on this weird tangent. Do not love the world, nor the things of the world, nor the pride of this agreement, and all this. Like, wait. We're supposed to love others, and what's this whole world craving thing coming in? And here's what Skip Heine has changed my opinion about sin. And this is now my opinion about sin that really God really hates. Because King David was not a good man. He did not obey the rules, right? He's an adulterer. He's a murderer. He was selfish. I mean, he did all the biggies. And yet God says, what? This is a man after my own heart, and I'm going to have my Messiah come through him. And I think it's because David didn't violate these sins. And here they are. And I think that's exactly why John put this in here. And it is that because he wants us to know him, the first step of the sin is that we ignore God. And then we replace God. And then we end up rejecting God. And I think that is what God is adamantly trying to tell us. Don't ignore me. Because the world is going to come screaming at you that you want this, you want this, and this will make you happy, and this will bring you joy, and this is what will really, blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, he's saying, know me. Don't believe the lies of this world. And then the last one, I love the last one, actually, on the page there, 1 John 2:27. But you have received the Holy Spirit, and He lives within you, so you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Holy Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. So what am I thinking when I read that? He's going to teach me what? The rules. Right? He's going to teach me what I'm supposed to do right that will make God pleased in who? Doug Turpin. And this is what I've realized. God does not care about my performance at all. He is not for that. And so what does He tell me? What is He going to teach me? That very last line. So He has taught you what? Remain in fellowship with Christ. Like, so I'll just tell you my quick story. So I'm learning to this whole thing about walk with God. I'm learning that when I go on walks with God, like physically get out of my house and go walk with God, all sorts of cool things happen. Not every time. Definitely not every time. But what I'm learning is that when I'm on those walks, the Holy Spirit will come and talk to me. And you know what He's generally teaching me? Remain in God. He's telling me all sorts of things like, God doesn't need me. His name's going to be quite fine regardless of what Doug Turpin does. He doesn't need anything from me, but He sure loves to give me things. And it is amazing to me how much the Holy Spirit teaches me about God and knowing God. And very rarely do I get the slap on the hand, you bad person, Doug Turpin. I mean, it is just amazing. As much as I can convince you, get free from performance for God. God does not need you to be perfect. God wants you to what? Remain in Him. Remain in Him and know Him. So I have a few minutes here, and so we're going to do something slightly different than maybe we've done in the past. And that is, I'm going to give you guys a chance to interact with these concepts. So a couple of ground rules for this interaction. One, I am not asking for any personal stories. This is not about, well, when I, blah, blah, nothing personal. This is about general concepts, general other people. There's no dominating the conversation, so 60 seconds max. I need somebody that has a couple of iPhones that can start and we'll give you the click, we're done, because we're not going to ramble on and on. I need a scribe. And what you're going to do is you're going to break up into groups of 8 or 10. And on that sheet of paper, if you turn it over to the back side, you'll see there's 3 questions that I'm going to ask you guys in groups to interact with and answer these 3 questions. So I need someone to write down anything interesting that comes from your group as you dialogue about it. And then I need someone to be a timer in the group again. Here's my request. Some of us, Skip, Tom, and I, love to talk. We think we are so eloquent. But you know what? There's a whole bunch of people who don't normally talk, and those are the people who have really, really good insights. So if you're a traditional talker, I'd ask for you maybe not to talk. And those of you that are traditional non-talkers, we would love, love to hear what you have to say. So the 60-second rule is in there for those of us like Skip and I. And for the rest of you, I would love to. So I'm going to give you 12 minutes to discuss these in groups of 8. And then we're going to come back, and I want to hear your feedback as you've gone into these questions. All right? Is that clear enough? Again, no personal stories. And one more thing. If you don't want to talk, don't talk. You don't have to talk. Right? Total freedom here. So break up into groups of 6, 8, or 10. But we'd love for you guys to get together and chat and answer questions 1, 2, and 3.
What about 4?
4 is a bonus one if you get to it.
Are you going to want the groups to report in?
Yeah.
Okay. So we will keep this mic handy.
Yeah. So I'll have you go around and...
Okay.
You can turn your chairs even if you want. You're allowed to turn your chairs.
I had to switch that way because we don't want people to share. Now we have 2.
Okay.
This is my assistant.
Okay.
Maybe you don't know him.
What's his name? Is he a good guy?
Yeah, he's very efficient.
Is green on?
Yeah, it should be on. Tap on. I don't know why this isn't working.
Okay.
It's working about the soundboard. I can hear you with the soundboard.
Okay.
But it's not coming through the speakers. Cool. I don't know.
That's all right.
And we tested that, both my assistant and I.
Green one's not making any noise.
Yes. Oh, let me turn it up a little bit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Say what? So Skip, I'm not gonna put you on the spot, but I am going to a little bit. Hello, and I'm gonna encourage people to come talk to you about how to know God at the end.
Oh, at the end they come talk. Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
About their list.
Yeah.
Poker.
No. About how do you know God? Cool.
I do have the answer to that.
Good.
Jesus said,
Two action steps I'm going to ask people to do is talk to somebody who's farther along in the walk with Christ than them. And I'm going to recommend they come and talk to you.
Okay.
And then I'm going to say, if you want, Skip and I are going to stand up here. And if you want people, you want prayer that you would know
sure.
God.
Good.
Skip and I will pray that God will
awesome.
Help you to know him. Is that
awesome.
Right?
You okay. Can.
Okay. Two more minutes. too, Mike.
I love this place.
I do too. Now I get the freedom to do this. Now I get the freedom to do this. I wish you could, you should stand up and look and see.
Oh yeah, it's amazing. So the video helped all that. It's happening.
All righty. Can I get everybody back together?
No.
I would sing, but that would hurt your ears. Okay, who... See, we have a mic. We have a mic here. Who has something that they observed or stood out to them as you guys discussed that question?
Uh-huh. And question number one, I think we spent the whole time on it.
Oh.
Well, we got two and three in real quick. But it was kind of really cool. Why do others who call themselves Christians struggle to spend time and energy to remain in fellowship with God? And kind of busyness, whether it's in the world or in the church. We got to that part.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do if you're if it's a seasonal busyness? Then you can ask others to intercede for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like Moses held up the staff, or held mm-hmm. his arms up. And then somebody helped him hold his arms up, because the people couldn't hold their arms up. They were in battle.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's an ongoing busyness, straighten out your priorities. If it's a seasonal busyness, get others to cover you in prayer. Is that cool?
That is great. So if it's seasonal, ask others to pray. If it's perpetual, try and change things.
I think question... Oh.
So we have...
We got one over at question one.
We talked about the same things that Anita did as well, but also not understanding what we're missing. If we really haven't spent time with the Lord, then we really don't know what we're missing. And once you experience, then you don't want to go away. There was another aspect we talked about, the worry, that when people are so concerned about whatever's going on and worry starts overtaking, that it's easy for people, again, especially if you don't know the beauty in that time in fellowship, to not be back in fellowship.
I think that's massive, and that's what I was trying to communicate. You said it much better than I did, that until you really believe it's worth it and experience the benefits of it, it's kind of feels like a duty and a weight and a almost obligation. At least it did for me. Yeah, that's great.
In our group, we talked about how even though we think most of the time, most people think, well, we don't have a choice. We have to do what we have to do. We have to go work, we have to go this, we have to do this. So I think it comes in with the worry. So we worry about all the material things that we have to have, the food we have to have. But Lars brought up a good point. He said, but do we really need as much food as we think we need? And the other thing was that there's a lot of pain in the world. So a lot of people look at that and say, the pain and suffering that's going on in this life, you know, I mean, God is good, but why is there so much suffering? So that comes into mind, too.
That's excellent. Sherry in the back. And we can go to any question. It's not just question one. It's any question, any observation.
So Jason had a really good point, a really good analogy for this, a Star Wars analogy. I messed up my star stuff.
I don't know if you've seen the episode, but basically there's these invisible aliens that are basically experimenting on the crew of the Enterprise, and I was drawing the analogy to spiritual warfare that, you know, why are we... There's a lot of resistance to us getting close to Him. So sometimes I think as Christians we go through a season of time when, you know, we so much feel that closeness and we just want more and more of it. But I think God allows us to go through times of a desert. And it's kind of a time of testing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're, you know, all of a sudden there's a little more of a battle there. So
mm-hmm.
that we shouldn't be surprised. That when you know there's a battle, I think you're... Now you know how to call out and say, put on the full armor of God, and all of a sudden you realize you can make your way back to Him again.
I really appreciate that, Jason, because how many of us are like, woohoo, I get to wake up 30 minutes earlier to try and go hang out with God, right? It is, at least for me, it's still a dragging fight to get there, regretfully.
I liked question two, the why do people struggle to believe that God is good to them all the time? And someone brought up, we might have the wrong definition of good. Mm. So when He does this, we don't think that's good, but that's really good.
Mm. Yep, good one. Anybody else?
Hello, okay. God is not good all the time, and a bad man knows he is not very good, and a good man knows how bad he is.
Hmm. Hmm. Thank you.
I would just like to respond to number two, our group. Why do people struggle to believe that God is really good to them all the time? It's because we want God to prevent all the bad things that happen in life, like childhood experiences that were bad, that He allows us to go through those things because He will use us for that at another time. That was good.
Thank you.
As you notice, there's three of us that didn't turn our seats around. And I think that is really cool because we have a new perspective on what is happening all around us. Before, all we saw was up here. Now, we see back here. And it gives us a new perspective on what is good and knowing God from all of you.
One or two more comments, and then I have to wrap it up here.
Well, I think that I kind of messed up our little group because I wasn't understanding that the back page was questions. But I think that my thought fits into number three. How does remaining knowing God lead you to love others more? As you were speaking, Doug, two verses were coming into my mind. The first one is, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. A lot of people think that they need to fall in love with the heart of God, but that's not what the scriptures tell us to do. The scripture says, seek first His kingdom. Well, you have to ask yourself, what is His kingdom? That's what Jesus died for, the harvest. That's what turns God's heart on, is the harvest. Mm-hmm. So if we get a heart for the harvest, then we're already touching His heart. Mm. And then He says, and His righteousness. Well, who is His righteousness? God loves His Son, and Jesus is our righteousness. Mm. So when you're pursuing those two things, you are touching the heart of God. Mm. And the second scripture that really came to mind was where in John 17, where Jesus is praying to God, His Father, just before His crucifixion. He says, I pray they be one with each other, just as we are one with each other.
Mm. Excellent. Last one.
We got one here.
Oh, one here.
I think in answering all of the questions, it goes back to our childhood and how we were raised and what we perceive was happening to us and what we carried from that childhood. Mm-hmm. And if we have been able to survive our childhood and to walk with God and to get into relationship with God, then we begin to enjoy the love God has for us. But sometimes it's really hard to overcome all those things. And that's where our problems come in trying to relate to others. Mm. And in the maturity of Christ is when we begin to see the relationship that we just don't know how to do it. And we go to God and ask Him, okay, God, this isn't working.
Mm.
You go to God, and you find out what's not working.
Thank you. So to wrap this up, the thing I love about Christmas now is that Christ came physically to earth. God Almighty came to earth. And I think part of the reason he did that is he was like, I really mean it, that I want to be with you. I want to remain with you. And so I appreciate that this is not an easy thing. I've often heard sermons like this before. And my encouragement to you, this does not happen in 4 hours. This does not happen in 4 days, 4 weeks. I'm not even sure this happens in 4 months. This is not a quick, all of a sudden, I love that you said that I all of a sudden fall in love with the heart of God. It's for me, and maybe not for you, I'm just going to tell you my experience, was that often it felt like almost like drudgery, like I was walking the Camino, and it was like I was tired of walking, but you just keep walking. And it seems like when I was the tiredest, and if I was willing to keep trying to walk with God, that was right after that unique and new and beautiful things opened up. And this is, I'm just going to tell you quickly my journey, and it might be different from yours, but what I've realized is as I have intentionally pursued to know God, and what I mean by that is I had a master's of divinity, I'm ordained, I've worked in Christian nonprofit, and none of that led me to knowing and pursuing God. It was all head knowledge. It wasn't until my goal was to know and trust him that my life changed. And at the end of it, after 18 months, I look back and I realize how far I have come, but it never felt like I went anywhere. And I don't ever want to go back to that not trusting God phase of life. And I really appreciate what you said, because it's not real until you experience it. And I don't know how to explain this to you. And here's the crazy, great, wonderful thing about this is you learn to love others as you grow closer to God. And I just can't explain it either way. And I'll wrap up with this. Over 2 years ago, God says, October of 2014, you're going to have a new job, Doug. I'm gainfully employed. I'm doing well. And I don't know if you know, but October 2014 came and left, and this crazy season of life Andrew and I are in. Thought I was going to get a job the first week. It doesn't happen. October 31st, I'm flying down for my great uncle's funeral. I'm on the plane, and every now and then now God just shows up and tells me something he wants me to learn. And he says, Doug, here's your job. Your very first job is you're a child of God. And I've heard that all my life, and I now know more than ever that really is important to know and believe. And for me, he told me that means I want you to seek me. For some of you, it could mean to know him, to love him, to trust him. But that is my number one job. Because honestly, sometimes in the morning when I sit down with my Bible, I do it out of duty and like, I could be more productive doing a whole bunch of things rather than this. And he said, you know what? That is the most productive thing you will do. And then he said, your second most important job is you're to be a husband to Andrea. And you are to love her. And you are to give up your selfish things that you want her to do. And I was like, oh, okay, great. And then thirdly was I'm to be a father. And then on down from there. And what I've come to realize is my income is to support those things, is to be a part of that. That what I do 8 to 5 is not to define me, but that really my top priority is to seek God. So that happens October 31st. We launch our latest business thing out, and it was really my ineptness, nothing of great, woohoo, wow, look at my smarts. And God decides to bless it tremendously. I mean, tremendously. Because I was seeking him. I can't even tell you how much God did it. And if I could get on my knees and beg you, I would, to as much as possible, make it your goal over the next 6 months to know God. And here's how you know God, in my opinion. Well, there's a couple things. One, you have to get outside your house and walk and talk out loud to God. I scream at God now. I yell at him. I cry to him. And you know what? He can handle anything you tell him. He already knows it. He's not surprised that you're upset at him. You're allowed to do those kinds of things. The other thing is find people who are farther along on the journey. I can't tell you enough. Come talk to Skip. Please, if you want to know God more, say, Skip, tell me. Please tell me what I can do. And the third thing, and a couple of you have said it, is ask people to pray for you that you would know God, seek God, trust God, whatever it is. Like, that's what I've asked people to do for the last 18 months, and I realize it really does pay off. So, not to just say, okay, here's this, and try and go do that. So, Skip and I are going to stay up here. As I close in prayer, and if you want to know, if you want to know right now, Skip, tell me two or three things that would help me to know God more. He will gladly tell you. And I think you'll be surprised. I don't even know what he's going to say. But I think you're going to be surprised that it's not about doing. It's about being, probably. And if you just want prayer to say, I want to know this God more, we would love to pray with you. I mean, it has helped me so much to ask people just to pray that I will know and trust God more. So I'll pray, and then I think we have dessert or snacks and everything else. So let me pray. God in heaven, I thank you that that Jesus Christ came to earth as a baby in physical form to really just scream out loud how much you want us, how much you want to be with us, and how much you so love us and are so available to us, and you're just asking us to walk towards you, and you will be there. I pray for all of us, especially me, Lord. I so easily turn away from you, and I ignore you, and I replace you. And please, Holy Spirit, pull me back to wanting to be in close fellowship and to remain in you in all times. Lord, I beg of you, Holy Spirit, convict me. Show me the joy again and again of knowing you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.